Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Last week, a photograph taken by Andy Holzman for the Southern California News Group caught our attention as it made the rounds on social media. The photo showed California farm workers laboring in a vast field as a huge cloud of thick, dark smoke hung over them. The cloud was from the Woolsey and Hill fires.
Those images were very authentic. What we saw with the Woolsey and the Hill fire, and even a year before when our region was hit by the Thomas fire, is that you had these big plumes of smoke going in the air, creating very hazardous air quality.
That's Genevieve Flores Haro. She's the associate director of the Mixteco Indígena Community Organizing Project. Her organization works with indigenous laborers who mostly come from southern Mexico. And in the weeks since the devastating fires broke out across California, she's been responding to the economic pressures that migrant workers face despite safety and health concerns.
Many folks were told to stay inside, but our area's farm workers continued working their full days to provide for their family. Now, that's not to say that they were forced to stay there by the company, but they definitely, you know, as a means to provide for their family, needed to continue to work in those really hazardous conditions.
For most people working in during a disaster like this, your company or your boss might give you some time off, ideally something paid. I'm assuming that these protections do not extend to the farm worker community in California.
That's correct. That's correct. And what we saw in Ventura County throughout these different fires is that in some cases, the company ramped up production, meaning they were trying to pick as much as they could in the event that the smoke or the air quality has damaged the crop. And I know that was the case with some cilantro fields and whatnot, where the crops were damaged because of the air smoke. But unfortunately, those protections do not extend to farm workers. The farm workers needed to keep working in those conditions.
So what type of help were farm workers requesting from you? Were there more farm workers now asking for help? And if so, what kind of help?
We had seen what the farm workers were working under with the Thomas fire. So with the Woolsey and Hill fire, we were a little bit more prepared in terms of having a game plan in terms of distributing N95 respirator masks, which is the recommended mask that you use if you're going to be outside doing any physical strenuous activity or any activity at all outside. So we had already the network in place to go out and distribute these masks to farm workers. In certain cases, you know, certain companies were letting folks go at half day, meaning a 4-hour day instead of an 8-hour day. And so to help that and to help farm workers that were economically impacted by these fires, our organization, MICOP, and some partner organizations, CAUSE and Future Leaders, established the 805 Undocu Fund, which would provide economic relief for farm workers who lost wages and were impacted by these disasters.
And I'm also wondering more broadly, has farmland been destroyed by these fires? I can only imagine if so, that will directly impact workers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. With the, again, referring back to the Thomas fire, there were areas that were destroyed. A lot of the ag industry, they had losses that they experienced because of the damage done to farmland. I don't think we saw that too much with the Hill fire, the Hill and Woolsey fire, as it burned a lot shorter. But there's definitely jobs that were lost. I know in particular, one farm worker that we were helping out worked in an area called Santa Paula. And so that field ended up, they got evacuated from that field. She worked for another company and eventually got sent home early because of the smoke. So there was definitely economic impacts felt by both the farm workers and the growers.
Hmm. And are there rules that govern when they have to take workers off the farm?
Yeah, so that's all run through the Cal OSHA office in terms of when they have to take the workers off. But what my understanding of it all is that it's very much the supervisors that are there during the day on the land have the final say in terms of who goes and who stays. And that even came down to when we were distributing our masks, who was going to let us onto the field and who was not going to let us onto the field to distribute masks.
Genevieve Flores Haro is the associate director of the Mixteco Indígena Community Organizing Project. Genevieve, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.